Couple of weeks ago, I preached a message on understanding the love of God, part one, and today I want to finish the latter two points on this, understanding the love of God. And Paul has a lot to say about that here in chapter 3, and he talked about just the song we talk about, the depth and the width and the length and so forth, and how that we should be willing to proclaim that and extend that into the world, into one another. So follow along with me as we look at verse 14, first of all. And that's why Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in the heavens and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is breadth and length and height and depth." Verse 18 there. "And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses," I would say, "all knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." And then finally, verse 21. "To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Now, when we think about this subject, understanding the love of God, have you ever thought how big the love of Christ is, the love of God? How wide, we talked about a while ago, deep and wide. How long, how high, how deep. And Paul, he really wants us to know. And as we know, we can proclaim, we can tell others about God's love. And we really need it now in our nation, don't we? We really need to proclaim that. Ed Antrus and I was talking about, you know, the things that goes on in our world. Well, there will be a reckoning day one of these days. And still spreading, you know, hatred and all of the things that we see and hear. We should be filling up with God's love, understanding that God's judgment is going to be coming one of these days. We need to be ready to prepare for that. There will be a reckoning. But God, Paul prays that we will know the love of God, that we may never fully grasp while we're living the measure of Christ's love for us. But these verses give us a hint to those dimensions, and the dimensions of God's love is really far beyond our comprehension, as Paul says. You know, it is wide as the outreach of the arms of our crucified Christ, embracing both Jews and Gentiles, as Paul often talks about, rich, poor, male, and female. There's no limitations there. Reaching out to whoever will accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then also proclaim that love. And as Paul describes, it reaches low enough to touch the most wretched sinners and high enough to reconcile them to a holy God, as Isaiah chapter 6. Holy, holy, holy is our God Almighty. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the wide, all-encompassing. And when I shared that with you, when I think about God's love being wide, it has enough love for you and me and every person that's ever have or will walk upon this earth, no matter what color, race, or creed. And then when we think about how long God's love is, well, wide means it's all-encompassing. Here, in long, it's all-seeing. Can you see how long God's range of love is? God knows how things are going to turn out. We don't, do we? I don't. And all we can see sometimes is a short range, but God sees long range. He sees into the future a lot further than we can, and God's love extends far above that as well. So, this morning, briefly, I want to talk about how high God's love is. It's all-knowing. It's higher than we will ever comprehend. When I think of God's love being high, I think of Psalms 103, verse 11, which says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him." And when we think about that fear, it's not being afraid of God, because he is a God of love, but it's our reverence for him, because he is a mighty God. He's a holy God, and his love is so high, as the psalmist says, that is so great his love is for those who reverence him. Now, God's love is high as the heavens, and scientists have determined that we can see out into outer space about 45 billion light years. Can you count that far? 45 billion light years, that's a long ways, isn't it? And the heavens are even higher than that, according to our scriptures. And then let's consider what Isaiah says in chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, where God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are the ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That's mind-boggling, isn't it? To think. Of course, the Bible also speaks that we are to have the mind of Christ. And when we get in line with the spiritual truths that the Bible talks about, then we will have that mind. We will have that understanding. And Paul is saying we need to work on that and get to that point that we have that understanding. And we'll understand why God says what he says there in Isaiah 55 about that. See, God knows things that we do not. God understands things that we do not. God is not bound by logic. He's not bound by human intellect or even the laws of science that he created. We didn't create anything or make anything. He did that. And that's the definition, I believe, of a miracle, isn't it? I believe it is. Something that defies even the laws of science. God provides miracles. So, I'm saying that God's love is higher than you or I will ever comprehend in this life. And what does that mean? That we really need to get our hands wrapped around God's love. And when we do that, we need to proclaim it. We need to reach out to others that do not know the love of God, or are not practicing it, and show that God really, really cares. Now, how can we apply that? We apply that by understanding that God, our Heavenly Father, knows best. He knows best. Like the TV show years ago, Father Knows Best. Remember that? That was a good show, wasn't it? It really is true in this case. See, the Heavenly Father knows best. Can I trust God even when I don't understand what He is doing? Yes. I think of the young, timid judge in the Old Testament named Gideon. God raised him up to become a great leader and prepared him for battle initially with 1,000 of troops. And then, step by step, God whittled it down to the size of 300 brave souls. 300. Why did he do that? Well, God was in control. He knew best. It wasn't Gideon, but it was God showing his mighty power against 1,000 in the enemy camp. All because of God wanted it clear that that day would bring victory. And God brought it. So, you can read about it. You can find this in Judges chapter 7. If you got this afternoon free, you go in and read all about it in Judges chapter 7 and understand how God can work a victory in our lives and understand His love, even for Gideon, and putting him in a place that he can make a difference for the nation of Israel and even for this world today, because God's love is real. Now, if you have a word from the Lord, a direction you sense He wants you to go, His word confirms it, and praying about it gives you peace. And I tell you what, if you do pray about anything like that, you can eventually find peace, resting that God is going to provide that when we rest our lives in His hands. And even other believers confirm that God's working in you will continue on. Serve the Lord, even if you don't fully understand how it's going to work out. You just keep on plugging on, even if you don't know what God is doing in your life while you are serving Him. If He's put you in a position to serve, then He has put you there for a reason, to make a difference and to make a blessing to His kingdom. And you take that step. Take the next step. See, love is high. God knows best. And lastly, God is deep. You know, we sung this song a while ago, Deep and Wide. It must have did it for a reason. He knows exactly. He knows best how that Nancy was going to sing this song and how it would work into this message this morning. That's why I say God provides miracles. And if we will look for it, we will find it in every aspect of our world. And that's a deep and wide. You know, we've sung that song, I know, when I was a kid. And well, you sung it when you were a child as well. And when you were younger with lots of energy. And that's what Nancy was trying to do, to muster up the energy this morning to get us together singing these songs that kids love even today. God's love is deep. And as it says, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Absolutely. So when I think about God's love being deep, I think how He can love all satisfying. Yeah, you know, if we'll let Him. So God's love can help us with when others reject us. His love is secure. God's love can feed our lonely souls. You know, God's love can fill our overwhelming heartaches when we lose a spouse or a loved one of many, many years. God's love can bring us purpose and vitality even in the aches and pains of our life that we have on a daily basis. God's love is deep, really deep, deep and wide. So how do we apply this love that is so deep? Well, I can sum this up by saying, by filling by finding fulfillment in one who made you, who created you, and placed you here on this earth to love Him, to serve Him, to care for others, to reach out and to proclaim and tell others about His great love. There are great things to pursue in this life, and only God brings everlasting, eternal fulfillment. Only God can do that. No one else or nothing else in this world can bring fulfillment or eternal fulfillment. We have fulfillments here on this earth, but when we're looking upon at eternal fulfillment, only God can bring that and bring that about in our lives. St. Augustine once said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you." So many people in this world are restless, and they find that fulfillment when they find Christ. You can identify with that. I can identify with that. I was restless in my own life as a young teenager until I found Christ and I found that peace that passes all comprehension or passes all understanding. When I found that, I knew I had it, and I've still got it. And you found it, you still have it, and it will carry on into eternity. But by the expression of what we are to do in our lives, to share that and express that in other people, to other people, so they will understand it and pass that on, it becomes so contagious, doesn't it? Something that you have, something you believe in, something that you hope in and trust in, and you believe it that much, and you share it and pass it on, it becomes so contagious that people want to wrap their arms around it as well. And it is our responsibility. Basil Parcel wrote this about mankind. When he was trying to scope the mankind, he was trying to think about mankind in a way that he said, "He tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there, the help he cannot find in those things that are, though none can help, since his infinite bliss can be fulfilled only with the infinite and immutable object, in other words, by God himself." pretty well spoken, isn't it? What man is seeking. And when he doesn't seek God's grace and mercy, then he doesn't find fulfillment in the areas that will fulfill his life like he does with God. See, God alone can satisfy our deepest needs. Now, if this is true, then consider that every temptation Satan throws out and draws a legitimate human need, he will try to provide that in your life. The temptation is simply to fulfill it in a way that God did not intend for us to do or experience or have. See, gossip submits substitutes for healthy esteem, knowing that you are God's child. And that's enough. If we are God's child, that's enough. Greed substitutes for fulfillment in Christ. Uncontrollable anger substitutes for healthy conflict resolution. Satan offers cheap substitutes that never quite deliver. It's false advertising, and we should pick up on that real quick. See, God, on the other hand, offers ultimate fulfillment for our lives, and he's the only one that can do that. Going back to what Paul, he talks about in this passage, when Paul wrote today's passage, maybe he might have had in mind Job. I was thinking about Job. and all the things that Job went through in his life. And many of us never will experience the life of Job. If you ever have time, sit down and read the book of Job. Yeah, it might take you a while, maybe an hour or so. But if you'll sit down and read it, and when we think about our life and the aches and pains and the hearts and this and the hardships and everything we experience, look at Job's life. And yet God was in control of all of that the whole time, and Job gave credit to God for everything he did. In Job chapter 11, verses 7 through 9, Zophar asked Job, he says, "Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens above. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths below. What can you know? Their measures is higher than the earth and wider than the sea." The same scripture is what Paul was talking about right here. Maybe Paul had this in mind when he said what he said here in Ephesians chapter 3, referring to Job chapter 11. Because they had the Old Testament. They could read it, and they could identify their lives with what had taken place in the Old Testament. And now Paul was talking about it here, the depths and the height of God's love. And at the end of the book of Job, when Job never received answers as why he lost his health, why he lost his wealth and his loved ones, the answer he did is what he got was in the latter part. I'm thinking around chapter 34 where the scripture says, "I am God. I will take care of you. I will see you through this." All through the scriptures, God reaffirms and gives us that promise that he will always be there for us. And he did Job, and he was. He was. And God did. And sometimes we simply have to rest in the love that is beyond our understanding. We can try to grasp it, but only we can only get a small part of it sometimes. We can only see just a smidge of what God is doing. But we can trust him. And that's okay. And that's enough for me. He lets us know what we need to know. Because often the disciples, when they say, "When is the kingdom of God coming? And when is this going to happen? And when is that going to happen?" He said, "Right now, you don't need to know that. You need to be about the Father's business just like me. Trust me. It's all going to be okay as long as you trust and follow Jesus Christ. It all is going to work out. Especially in the end, isn't it? It is going to all work out." See, know that God's love for you is greater than you will ever understand in this lifetime. And I use the examples of a parent's love for their children. Children don't always understand that at the time, but when they get older, and even our kids just come back and said, "Now I understand what you're talking about. Now I understand your love for us. Why you didn't want us to go here or do this or do that." Now it helps us with our own children to understand our love for them, that we want to protect them as well. And let that love propel you forward, insecure in the arms of Christ, as you live for him, by him, and through him. D.L. Moody once said, "I know of no truth in the whole Bible that ought to come home to us with such power and tenderness as the love of God." D.L. Moody said that many, many years ago. And it still stands today for every one of us. If we could grasp it and understand, it's what Paul. So get a better understanding and let the interpretation of the Holy Spirit reveal this to you. Go home and read this afternoon over and over and over. And God is going to show you something great. I do believe. I read scriptures. I don't know time. I might read them 25 times sometimes to really grasp and see. And each time I will get something new that shows me and directs me in my understanding of the love of God and His mercy to each one of us. It's so great to try to comprehend, but the fulfillment of eternity that is to come is worth it all. And He's always going to be with us, always going to come through with victory. Let us pray. Father God, we praise Your holy name this morning. We thank You for Your great love that You demonstrated even when Christ came into this world, went to the cross, died for our sins. That's just a part of it, a great part of it. And Your love continues on in our lives daily as we must depend upon You. We must trust You. We must look to You. Keep our eyes focused upon You. Lord, we thank You that Your word has saving grace, has power to change the very aspect of each one of our lives and even the world itself. But we must do our part. The world must do its part to relinquish their will and surrender to You. Lord, I pray that today. I pray for the world. I pray for the world situations. And narrow it down to us individually. That we open our hearts. That we understand. That we must be humble in spirit. Contrite in spirit. Just like Christ when He went to the cross and died for our sins to save a wretched sinner such as myself and anyone, Lord, that walks upon this earth. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. And thank You for the life that You give us through Christ Jesus. It's in His name I pray. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing God is So Great this morning is our invitation. May we stand.